Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. What's up, besties? How's everyone been doing?
We're doing good.
I know. We've been a little MIA.
So true.
But we're back and with a very special episode. Today, we are going to be interviewing each other on how our 2025 has been going in terms of work and all of the things that we're grateful for this year and how we're very excited for next year and what 2026 holds.
Yeah, we've had some time to do some reflecting and think about everything that we're grateful for, especially with Thanksgiving just happening.
Yeah, I feel like even if you're not a huge celebrator of Thanksgiving, it's a good time of the year to start thinking about what you're grateful for and the things that you've accomplished over the year and kind of what you're looking forward to. So because we've both been so busy with work, we want to kind of give you a recap of what's been going on lately in both of our worlds and then give you guys some overview of what the young professional work landscape looks like right now and some advice on how you can manage all of that because it's really difficult to go through on your own.
Yes. Do you want to get us started and talk about what you've been doing?
Yes. I feel like if anybody who is a listener knows me outside of the podcast, all you've heard me talk about is the Epic Toledo Leadership Summit. So I'm the manager of Epic Toledo, and I've spent basically the entire year planning our leadership summit. So it's our biggest event of the year. We have upward of 250 young professionals attend, and it's just a big professional development day where we bring in some keynote speakers. We have some different panels on relevant topics to young professionals today, and then a lot of really cool networking opportunities, both with young professionals that are in attendance, but then also we added a new feature this year, and we brought in a bunch of community leaders to come in the morning and kind of give our young professionals the chance to have some face time with those leaders. So it was definitely a huge undertaking.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was in attendance and it was definitely a super inspiring day. And you can tell just how much work and passion went into it from Riley's side.
Yeah. And speaking of work and passion, Libby, tell our listeners what you were up to with your market.
Yes. While Riley was busy at the summit, I was working on the Empower Her Market with Imagination Station. I'm the events coordinator there, and we have been working hard on our Science After Dark events, which cater to the 21 and up crowd, like 7 to 10 time frame, so you can come in, experience the building without any kids, and do some fun things. And this market was all women-owned artisans, vendors, small businesses, creators, entrepreneurs. We had over 30 vendors come in and sell their goods just in time for the holiday season.
And because we love supportive co-hosts and besties, I was also in attendance at Libby's event. So let's kind of take a step back and break down these events and kind of what that looks like for us as the coordinators of those. So Libby, let me start with you. Talk about kind of like the goal of the event and then your involvement in the whole process.
Yeah, so I think with the Science After Dark series, this one, sometimes it's a lot more like alcohol focused, like our wine and chocolate or other things like that. But this was a nice chill night. We had Ramona Collins there doing some live music.
The queen herself.
She's background music while you're shopping. But to really highlight the women in the area, we have such an amazing art scene in Toledo, as we touch on all the time. So doing that for the first time. And then also, it was a fundraising event that goes towards Girl Power in the spring, which helps younger girls get into STEAM careers and get more access to that. So all around, a super inspiring evening.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my role in that was contacting all of the vendors, getting them there, getting them organized, doing the floor plans. And then another part was I got the chance to actually go out and visit some of their studios and take some promotional videos and talk with them and I mean, even like see them working on some of their pieces, which was such a blast and super fun to talk one-on-one and see their artistic process. I loved that part.
Yeah. So obviously being kind of like the architect of this whole event with Imagination Station, can you talk about, were there any big challenges or roadblocks that you faced while trying to put this together? And what did that look like?
I think because it was the first year, it was just everything new. So there was nothing really to go off of. I mean, we've done other markets in the past, but not this specific event. So just coming in, especially too, personally, this was my first time working on a market style event of our own. So just starting that from the ground up, everything new, nothing to really go off of. But everyone that I worked with was super supportive on both the vendors and my coworkers and directors and things. So made it easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, talking about kind of the challenges, let's talk about the parts of it that were the most rewarding for you. So tell me some of your favorite parts and why this particular event was so fulfilling.
Yeah, I think meeting with the individual artists and hearing each of their stories, and then also the way that they supported each other, sharing each other's promotional videos that I made, and, you know, shouting out each other, that was really special to see. And then seeing, you know, their success and how well they did with their sales, it felt really tangible, the success of the evening.
And I think it does feel very much like a community vibe. You know, I mean, obviously the vendors and people who were there were not just women, but they're local. And so it's like we have that component of it as well, and the community supporting one another, which is really nice. And because this was something that was meaningful to you both professionally and personally, can you talk a little bit about how you kind of measure the success of the event? I think it's hard. You and I both work in event planning type roles. And so I think it's hard sometimes to take a step back and take stock of what the success was professionally and personally for ourselves.
Yeah, I think personally it was fun for myself to see just how much I could take on and handle working on the market and then having everything go smoothly. I mean, it's a lot of moving parts to get everyone in the same room at the same time, unpacking and unloading. So just from the logistic standpoint, I was happy with how that went. And then I think just overall, like how we're saying, the vibes and the community and just having that, it felt like a great evening.
Yeah, definitely. And talk about, were there any, you know, lessons, either good or bad, that you learned from this event that you would want to take into next year, especially because it was your first time doing this particular event?
Yeah, there are lots of little things where it's like, oh, I'll, you know, move someone out of this space and put them in this space instead, or like, oh, this specific space needs better lighting or this and that. So just lots of little things that you just kind of take stock of and make good notes for yourself and keep moving.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. I'm very proud of you. I think it was a really awesome event, and I cannot wait to see how it grows from here, with especially with your guidance, because it's awesome.
Thank you. But yeah, we have to go back to the summit, or you're not getting out of the hot seat. Obviously, to get all those young professionals in the same room and share that advice and experience with them. But what was, from your perspective, kind of the goal?
Yeah. So, I mean, Epic Toledo, as a program through the Toledo Chamber, we're very local focused. We are called Epic Toledo, but we serve the region. So our goal is to get everybody, not only from Toledo, but Sylvania, Bowling Green, Perrysburg, Maumee, any of the surrounding areas. I mean, we have members from Michigan who drive down for our events. So making sure that we are creating the space for all of our region's young professionals to gather and then get some really good professional development out of the day. Obviously, one of the big cornerstones of Epic is creating that connection between the young professionals and between the community. So that's a huge goal of the event. But I think, too, just like our topics this year were really helpful and relevant to what's going on in the young professional landscape. So our morning keynote talked a lot about storytelling and communication and the importance of how your communication and the way that you're telling a story can kind of make or break any aspect of your job. So social media, of course, makes sense, you know, how you're telling the story online, then, you know, how you approach sponsors when you're looking for sponsors for events, because that's a huge component of it too. So I think it was really interesting to hear her insight on it.
It was super engaging as someone who's in the audience. It was a relatively long time of a speech, but I was right there in the pocket the entire time.
And it was cool because she gave so much time for the connection. Mm-hmm. Like she said, okay, so you're going to make up a story about this or tell a story about this thing in your life and you're going to share it with somebody else in the room. So it was an automatic little connection builder and meeting somebody new, sharing your story. It was a pretty cool exercise. But then we had panels on mentorship and the importance of finding the right mentor and preserving that relationship. We had panels on downtown development, giving updates on what's going on in our city and the way that our city is going through this renaissance, which I know I'm a broken record, you guys. I talk about it like every episode, but I love it so bad. And then we also had, of course, my personal favorite, don't tell the other panels, is that I put together a mental health panel as well, which that's not unique. I mean, the Leadership Summit has been going on for years and we typically have some sort of mental health panel. I think what was really interesting this year was our panelists really made that one fascinating. I mean, we had people from all different types, like practicing therapists, people who work with mental health in the arts and theatrical sense, talking about the different expression and how you can kind of move through your own journey of resilience with the different artistic expression. I mean, I feel like there were just a lot of different key points of insight that made this one a little more unique this year. But then really the point that I was the most excited about was our afternoon keynote speaker, a local guy named Jamil Ayasi, who is a Grammy Award winning producer. He worked on Beyonce's album and he worked on one of Eminem's albums. And so it was really unique to have him in there kind of giving not only his insight on, you know, one, how he navigates change in an industry that is always changing and how, you know, the rejection component of that and the success component.
Which is all super relevant.
All super relevant. But then also just like, it was really cool having somebody who made it in such a prominent industry with such popular artists talk about why he chooses to stay here and live here in Sylvania and raise his family. And it was just really an amazing talk. It was a moderated keynote. He was wonderful. So I think to me, really the goal of the event is the connection component and then also just the development component as well. Yeah. And then, I mean, similar to you, like I kind of was the architect of the event. I'm the only employee of Epic. Obviously, it's through the chamber, but I'm the only one working in the Epic department. So I have a lovely advisory board who worked really hard to help me put the event together and a leadership summit committee chaired by two amazing individuals. But it was really just kind of, you know, finding the right venue and then finding all of the speakers and the panelists. I did the whole social media campaign myself, similar to you. Like it's all the nitty gritty components of an event that you might not think about. I mean, down to the menu, how many, you know, big giant jugs of coffee are we going to have in the morning? Right. And which was one of my key points, because I know young professionals need some coffee that early in the morning. But for an all day event, there were a lot of components that I definitely was working really hard to put together. And like I said, it was like a year long journey. I mean, this is my first year in the role, but having something to go off of was really nice. But definitely like every year it's different. Yeah. So having to kind of make it up as I go along.
Yeah, which is what I wanted to get into. Yeah. If you experienced any challenges with this being your first time.
Well, definitely, I think a big component is sponsorship. So when I took the job with Epic, I wasn't aware of how much I would have to scrap for sponsors. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful. We truly, like, what I want to say more than anything, and this is not lip service, it's very real. We have an amazing community of companies who want to sponsor good events that are meaningful. Yes. Like, and I know you know this from Imagination Station. We know this at the Chamber, but particularly when I see organizations taking the time to invest not only their money, but their time, like having their leaders come out or their company come out for events that benefit young professionals. That's just, I mean, the most amazing thing in the world. So for me, one of the biggest roadblocks was figuring out how to best approach some of those sponsorship conversations. And then obviously, as years change, you lose sponsors from years past, you know, so you have to kind of to do the math game of how am I going to make up this money for sponsorship? And if I don't get enough sponsors, I need to sell more tickets. And then if I don't sell enough tickets, I need to get more sponsors, that kind of thing. So I think the biggest thing for me was trying to finesse the timing around all of that because, you know,
and the financial aspect too, it's like a little uncertain right now.
Of course.
That is always a challenge in events.
And I mean, we're lucky because we have a lot of organizations that at the beginning of the year say, okay, we have particularly budgeted for Epic this year. So here's the money that we can provide for you, which is wonderful. But I think definitely just figuring out how to space that out timing wise and, you know, making sure all the sponsors information and logos and everything are in so that I can get the signage done or the thank you posts on social media, things like that. Like I said, the nitty gritty is what I was not really expecting, but it was great. And another big roadblock too, that ended up working in my favor, which was wonderful, is that the person we originally booked the venue with, we did it at the Renaissance Hotel, was no longer there. Mm-hmm. So then having that new contact, trying to catch her up on all the details of the event and then making sure that she was understanding and good to go. But I cannot overstate how wonderful they were in making sure that everything was seamless. So it ended up being a roadblock that turned into like a yellow brick road. Like, it was great.
I love that. And then on the flip side of challenges, what did you find to be the most fulfilling or exciting?
I would say two things from the outside perspective. Like I said before, the way that the community rallied around the event, I mean, not only our sponsors and our companies who said, you know, we don't have it in the budget to sponsor this year, but we will pay to send a bunch of our team members to the summit, stuff like that. But then also the biggest thing for me was hearing young professionals come up to me at the end of the day when we do our wrap-up happy hour and nonprofit showcase. They come up to me saying how beneficial this event was, how meaningful it was, and then getting emails and texts and LinkedIn posts and stuff afterward talking about how much they loved the event. I think that was just really fulfilling because it's for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're still talking about it in our office. Like, we'll reference back to it with key points or things. So it definitely does stick around until the next year.
Which for sure.
Shows that impact.
Yeah.
And then any specific lessons or things you're taking into next year other than just... You have it down?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I have it down, but I would say at least, you know, I learned very quickly that getting very organized early is going to be the key to success for this. And I can't overstate that enough for anybody else, not only in the event planning world, but in any profession, really. If you're doing something that is like an ongoing project, having a list. Mm-hmm. And for me, what worked was I had a list of everything I needed to do in one big spreadsheet. And then I put dates that they all needed to be done. Mm-hmm. So then I could go through and I would just fill in the cell green when it was done. And by the end of the summit, seeing everything in green was so lovely. Yes. So I would definitely say like staying organized. And then it's never too early to start. Like I already have reached out and haven't signed the contract, but have reached out and had conversations pretty much confirming our keynote speaker for next year, which is, you know, really great because that's one less thing I have to figure out.
Yeah, so you can start all of those promotional things.
Stuff like that. Earlier. And I think, too, it was just really meaningful for me to be an attendee of the summit before than to go to somebody who's planning it so that I could have both sides of here's as an attendee what I wish would have happened or what I loved, and then here's what I can take into it for next year.
Yeah.
So definitely this coming year, I want to build in some time for myself to enjoy the summit and kind of see from the attendee perspective again what I could do for the year after and stuff like that. That's taking the time to appreciate the day and not just rush through the day is for sure a big thing.
And it's hard too when you're managing all the moving parts to actually like step back and look at it.
Absolutely. But yeah, I think you and I both are good about trying to take a second to appreciate what we've done, you know, whether that's in the middle or if we don't have time, like afterward, just reflecting on it. So I think that's going to be a key component for next year.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So obviously, now that those big events are behind us, we're starting to get back into the normal swing of things with our work lives. So let's do a little job check-in, Libs. Okay. So, you know, we're starting to kind of think of 2026 goals, both within our companies, but then also just personally, like our goals for our professional lives and our personal lives. So first, kind of let's recap 2025 and then talk about what we're looking forward to in 2026. So for you, Libby, give me a little overview of your job this year, kind of what you were mainly involved with or some key highlights that our listeners would like to hear.
Yeah, so I think the events is a huge part as my job. Both are signature events like the Science After Darks or things that take place during the day for families. But then also anyone who chooses to book our spaces, that is kind of my bread and butter. So that's what I've been hard at work on. And I hit my year in October this year in 2025.
Heck, so yeah. Cats to you.
Thank you.
And so now that you've hit your year, kind of talk about some of your biggest accomplishments this year and what you're most proud of.
I think the easiest one is just financial goals that my leadership team sets for me. I personally love a goal.
Yes.
A set number. I will strive to hit it every time and do anything in my power to get there. So hitting that goal and then being on a great track for this upcoming year. And then I think, too, just growing into the role. December is my busiest time with a lot of corporate parties and like holiday time things that we schedule. I have a ton going on in December, which is honestly my favorite time of the year to be busy and get to see all of my lovely clients. So I would say just growing into that and being like, okay, I have 1 year under my belt and I can go through another one knowing what's ahead and what to expect and what to be better prepared for, what I can chill out a little bit.
It's like it's nice when you don't feel like you're like the new one anymore. You're like, oh, okay, I'm kind of a pro now. I got this.
So, I mean, last year I was having my hand held through it all with just starting in October. So being fully on my own this year is, I mean, it's nice to be able to do your job well.
Yeah. And on that, did you find that there was anything pretty surprising once you got out of the training / hand holding process and started doing things on your own? Were there any big surprises that you weren't anticipating?
I would say just how willing people are to at least just have a conversation on like, do you need an event venue? You know, sometimes I think with, I'll say sales in quotations type roles, it's like you're kind of expecting to just be shut down. But we really do have such an amazing community that is here to rally around us and take you up for consideration. So just how lovely everyone's been to work with and just how many great connections I've been able to make with working on those kind of events.
Yeah, I feel like if anybody takes anything away from this episode, it should be never be afraid to reach out and just start the conversation because you don't know where it'll lead.
Yeah.
I mean, I was experiencing this with a company that I thought was going to be a dead end for sure. But I met with them anyway and I was chatting with them. And then before I knew it, they were members of not only the chamber, but members of Epic. And then they want to now sponsor events and be a part of it. And it's, you know, you never know when
you're
going
to
hear.
Just never know. And it's at the very least, it's just nice to say hello and just put yourself out there. I'd say another thing would be just how much I've learned scientifically. Like I feel like well, in comparison to my scientist friends, not very much. But in comparison to myself before, I know way more.
Girl, that woman in STEM.
Yeah.
Bill Nye would be thinking of you right now.
I never thought I would be in STEM and STEAM, but here we are. And I'm learning. And it's so fun.
I love it. And then kind of on the flip side, too, were there any big roadblocks that you found during this year?
I'd say just like the normal thing of getting into the swing or not quite knowing what to expect, but nothing too crazy. I have really great support systems around me who have been doing this for a long time and can help answer any questions that I have pretty quickly. And they're always super willing to support.
No, I love that so much. And then tell me what is, in your perspective, the hardest part of your job and then the most rewarding part of your job?
I think for some people, maybe the hardest part would be working like evening hours for events or like working outside of that schedule. personally, I'm not a morning person, so I'm always happy to do that. But being able to move on the fly through those type of things and go from like desk work to, okay, I'm running around the building like 30,000 steps, making sure that every piece of the event is going smooth.
Yeah.
But most rewarding would be just being able to see how many people were able to impact and introduce to STEAM or help just have a fun hands-on experience with their families or during the after darks or whatever it may be. That's definitely the most rewarding part.
Yeah.
So I want to get over to you and your 2025 recap at your job. We both kind of started new jobs at the same time. So this is fun to like recap and go back. But give us the rundown, the overview.
Yeah. So I was like about a month after you. I started December 2nd in 24 at the Chamber. And so it was unique because when I started, I had not a lot to do since it was year's end. And that's when everyone's kind of prepping for the next year and going over their goals. And I'm like, cool, I just got here. but it honestly, reflecting on it now, I'm so glad that I had like a full calendar year to work at this job and see the ins and outs and how it goes so that I can be better prepared for 2026. I mean, we did kind of like a brief overview at the summit of all the things we did this year. And so if I'm remembering everything right, we did 6 socials for Epic. We did 2 boss talks, which is our leadership speaker series. We did 2 or 3 volunteer opportunities, which was a newer thing that we're doing this year because our membership had a lot of interest in giving back to the community, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we were trying to kind of listen to what our member needs are and create some opportunities for volunteering. But I think honestly, like the 2 big highlights were our 2 signature events for Epic, which is obviously the summit, which I've talked about ad nauseum, but our golf outing as well. So I was kind of a hater, I'm not going to lie. And everybody in the office would laugh because they know I'm not a golf person at all.
Yeah.
When I heard we were doing a golf outing, I was like, cool, I know nothing about this. What the heck is a scramble style tournament? I don't know what that means. So I learned pretty quickly about that. But I think it was really interesting for me to see how something that I kind of chalked up to being silly is really an amazing tool of connection.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just golf, though golf is kind of like the big one that people use, but there are lots of activities like that where people can form valuable business and professional connections and you wouldn't even think about it like that.
Okay.
So I think it was really cool. We paired up 1 community leader with 3 young professionals for the aforementioned scramble style tournament. And it was a lot of fun to see everybody getting really involved, but mostly just seeing the engagement rise throughout the year and watching myself kind of get my stride this year was really cool. So, you know, I think that was definitely a lot of fun. And in terms of accomplishments, like I have to say our 2 signature events were definitely the biggest just in terms of scale. But for me personally, I would say I spend a lot of time going, not to pat myself on the back when I say this, I spend a lot of time going the extra mile for young professionals.
Yeah.
I've had people, you know, typically the Epic manager role just kind of assumes the position of planning the events, coordinating with the advisory board, and then just, you know, being the liaison between the Chamber and Epic and what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I kind of took it the extra mile this year, and young professionals would reach out to me with random needs like, you know, I met this person at this function and I've been trying to get in contact with them. Do you have a good email for me to reach out so that I can like continue this connection, being able to give them those contacts? I had a couple reach out to me saying, I don't have a LinkedIn and I don't know how to make one and I don't know what to do. So I met with them for coffee and helped them make their LinkedIns. But especially, I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier about money being tight. The job opportunities right now are a little tight too. I think everybody who is in a role right now is kind of hanging tight to their roles because they're grateful for the opportunity to work. And what's been really cool for me is that a lot of young professionals have reached out to me saying that they really need help finding a job and they don't know what else to do and they've searched the job boards and all of that. And being able to reach out to those young professionals, help them create a plan for themselves to get hired somewhere, get their foot in the door, stuff like that. I mean, even from just the mentorship program, that's actually my biggest accomplishment of the year. I'll talk about that. But through the mentorship program, we were able to get three of our young professionals hired in full-time jobs.
Get
one of them an internship. And I would say definitely my biggest accomplishment of the year was that, because we had kind of been on a hiatus with the mentor program just because there wasn't somebody in my role for a little while. But we put it together this year. We had some amazing mentors. Four mentors from the community were chosen, and each of them had four or five mentees. And the relationships that they formed, the community opportunities, I mean, some of them had full-time jobs and were not looking for jobs when they went into this program. They were more looking for, you know, long-term career goals, personal goals. But some of them, you know, got involved with boards or more volunteer opportunities, or even just learned valuable skills of communication or storytelling, entrepreneurship, things like that.
Just building confidence a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Watching all of them grow throughout that program, we run that from April until July. And so throughout that, watching the way that not only the young professionals put all of their time and effort into taking advantage of the program they had signed up for, but the mentors too. I've never been more inspired by a group of prominent community leaders coming together to donate their time, because make no mistake, they're not paid to be there. They are donating their time to better our young professionals in the community. And I was just blown away. It was amazing. Awesome. So that's definitely my biggest
accomplishment. I mean, to see them get jobs, like, that's directly changing their lives.
Yes. So
you should be super proud of
them. I know. It makes you cry. It makes me want to cry. I love it.
Any surprises or challenges that you faced?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit with the summit. I hit my stride a little bit kind of after the golf outing. I think that was when things kind of clicked for me.
Yeah.
The golf outing was in June, so it was about halfway through the year I started really running with stuff and kind of making it my own, which was really nice.
Just seeing that go well is like, okay, I got this.
Exactly. Well, and the golf outing was one that I actually didn't, succeed as much as I wanted to in terms of some of the back end stuff. But I, at the end of the day, was able to make up for it in other ways, which is really nice. But then also I'm able to look at it now and say, oh, I could have done this so much better. I could have done this part so much better. So definitely,
which is just part of it.
Yeah. Just, I think the biggest roadblock, and I almost think it's so simple, but for both of us, it's just being new on the job and learning the way of the job.
You don't know what you don't know.
We don't.
You don't even know what questions to ask. You just have to go through it and then come out with a different perspective and the insight that you need.
Well, and I've luckily not run into this as much as I thought I would, but still definitely encouraging our community to invest in young professionals. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be an exorbitant amount of time, but just finding little ways to give back to our young professionals in the community. I didn't get as much pushback as I thought, like I said, but I definitely had to kind of rally some, and I'm glad to say that it worked out in my favor in the end and in Epic's favor in the end. But yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise or roadblock that we went through.
And then would you say that, like, helping a professional then is your most rewarding?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we're looking at a program, the mentor program was definitely the most rewarding. Like, all of our programming is really cool, but just that program really meant a lot to me. And it was something that there wasn't a lot of framework for. So it was the first time in the job that I felt like I could take ownership of something, which was cool.
I would say that sticks out for both of us.
Yeah.
Like, being able to be creative and put our own twist on things. I think we both started
in
that.
Creative girlies. Like, we just want to do fun things for the community. Okay. But yeah, definitely being able to work directly with young professionals and change the landscape of their job hunt and their professional and personal careers. Like, that's really meaningful and rewarding.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
And if you guys thought that wasn't enough.
Libby and I stay busy. So outside of work, you all obviously know that we do this podcast. But additionally, Libby and I love the local arts. We love supporting and promoting the local arts And so we were pretty involved this fall in a lot of different shows. We talked about how we were both involved with She Kills Monsters with Issue Box Theater, which was a super rewarding experience for us both. But this fall, I was working on 3 different shows, Rocky Horror Picture Show, Annie, the musical, a crowd favorite, and then Big Bad Musical. And for Rocky Horror and for Big Bad Musical, Libby got to pull out some of her makeup routines once again and help our local theater kids shine on the stage. She is just a star when it comes to stuff like that. I mean, I talk on the podcast all the time about how much I love choreography and being a part of the production team for a lot of these shows, but I, more than anything, love dragging Libby into any show I'm a part of and having her help with hair and makeup because she's amazing with it.
I'm always happy to do it. It's a ton of fun and definitely a great creative outlet. And working with Big Bad was the first time that I've worked with little ones on and makeup and like getting to teach them, and it was just very fun. They're very sweet.
That show was through Horizon Youth Theater, which is obviously a youth theater group. And so for both Libby and I, it was our first time working with a kids only show. I think for Libby, it was your first time working with kids in general in that kind of realm. Yeah. But for me, it was my first time just with children. Because I usually do shows where it's like a combined adults and kids or just adults. So it was really cool to see the kids gain their confidence and all of that stuff. And like Libby said, it's so fun. It's so time consuming. I mean, I feel like Libby and I lived together. We were like ships in the night, never seeing each other for like 2 months of the year because it was just always crazy rehearsals or work events. And, you know, now that we're kind of in the relaxed point of it, it's really cool to look back and see all the stuff we were doing with those shows. And then we collaborated on a drag show for the University of Toledo. I was one of the performers, and Libby helped with hair and makeup once again, extraordinaire. And then, of course, you know, we were talking about it on the pod. Libby and I go all out for Halloween. Yes. So we had an amazing Halloween function, and we were able to do hair and makeup for that as well, pull out all the stops. It was just a blast.
I love a good look.
We really do. And so I think too, one of the things that's really important for us and why we're kind of talking about it on this episode is, one, it's really important for people to have outlets outside of work. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the work-life balance of it all. But another component of it for me is that I use a lot of my gigs with theater to supplement my income. Just as like, you know, anybody would pick up a second job doing something or whatever, or freelance write or things like that. So I think a lot of people are in a position right now where you have to kind of take a second job. I'm lucky enough that I don't have to, and Libby's lucky enough that she doesn't have to. But for us, like finding a way to do something that we really love outside of work and still like reap some of that benefit from it is really rewarding. But I think definitely we wanted to take the opportunity to talk a little bit about our tips for how people can not only find that, you know, work-life balance, but then also just like ways that you can be out in the community and kind of up your career game right now. Because like we said, the job market looks a little bleak, and we want you to know that there is hope and it's not a hopeless situation for you. Yes. So, you know, one of our biggest tips that both of us will boast all the time is networking.
Definitely. I think that's the easiest place to start when you're looking at how you can further your professional goals. I mean, I think human nature says if there's 2 people up for a role and one comes with a really great recommendation from someone that you know and trust, that would probably be your best guess.
Yeah. So. Well, and you never know how your network is going to benefit you, right? So like, I think for me, I was lucky enough to form such a strong network, not only from my previous job at the Toledo City Paper, but then also just from growing up in the community, going to a lot of functions with my parents and meeting people. I was able to leverage that in a lot of ways for my current job this year. So you never know how when you meet somebody, they could impact your life forever. And yeah, I mean, Libby and I had that. We were coworkers before we were best friends. So, you know, we chose to speak to each other and become friends and pals at work. And then that changed into something that will forever alter our lives, which is really awesome. So definitely networking. And it doesn't have to be through a specific group. It could just be, you know, showing up at a community function and going up to somebody that you don't know. And I think one thing that people really misconstrue when it comes to networking is that you show up and you just like try to talk to people and it's super awkward and whatever. If you go into a networking scenario with a goal in mind, it can really take a lot of the pressure off. Yeah. I like to go into a networking event by saying, okay, my goal for the day is I want to meet two new people, mm-hmm. or I want to find somebody who works in the arts that I can help recruit for this big function that we have going on, or I'm looking for somebody for the Epic Advisory Board. Let me network with people at this event and see if anybody would make sense for the group. So you never know what type of reward your networking can bring, but a goal is a really great place to start.
Yeah, and it's so much more than just like, oh, here's my card.
That. Right.
It's like actually talk to people, connect on things outside of just work, like yeah. have a genuine conversation and see where that leads.
And by the way, you can give somebody your card or your LinkedIn, but if you don't follow up with them, what was the point of it? That was just handing someone a piece of paper or connecting on a social media platform.
Yeah.
So definitely the follow-up component of networking too. I think the other one that we are big fans of is searching job boards. So I've been known to doom scroll on LinkedIn. Who doesn't doom scroll on LinkedIn? But I think there are a lot of, especially if you're local, a lot of job boards that are really helpful for local work. If you're not looking to relocate, and if you're sick of scrolling through LinkedIn for the millionth time, you can look to different job boards in our community from, you know, different Toledo-based websites. Like even my company, the Chamber, we have a job board, or the Toledo Region job board. And a lot of other Toledo-based groups will post job listings or even just be on social media posting job listings. So paying attention to stuff like that can definitely go far too.
Yeah. I think another great way is volunteer opportunities. Kind of goes along with the networking component, but it's a really great way to get out there. There's so many great nonprofit organizations in the area that would love your help, or, you know, you and a couple friends, and go have fun giving back.
Yeah, and I think it can be daunting to decide where you want to spend your time volunteering. And so Libby and I have found it really helpful to sit down and make a list of goals for yourself and values for yourself. And that can really help you find the right group to put your time and energy into. You know, if you're somebody who really cares about helping children or preserving the education of children, Imagination Station is a great spot. If you're somebody who is passionate about people who are displaced from their homes, the Toledo Lucas County Homelessness Board is there. If you want to help with food insecurity, there's groups for that. If you want to help with anything,
like a great program for volunteering.
Absolutely. There are so many different ways. And there are, again, boards online that are listing all of these opportunities. But then you can also then take it upon yourself based on your goals and your values to do the research of what groups might benefit you, but what you could also bring to the table for them, mm-hmm. because it is giving back at the end of the day.
Yes,
absolutely. And so I think in summation, our advice for you all today is going to be how Libby and I each find a way to balance all of the 1,007,000 things that we have going on while still trying to kind of maintain our sanity and peace as people. So Libby, do you want to kick us off?
Yes, I would say number one is a support system. Obviously, Riley and I living together, we're always here for each other and whatever we need, whether it's a quick check-in or a movie night or whatever it may be. Yeah.
Sometimes we just need a hug.
Whatever we need, having someone that you can go to is very important and can help, you know, balance you out a little bit. Like, you seem stressed, let's take a deep breath kind of a thing. My other piece would just be staying organized. I really like what you said about listing everything with dates, mm-hmm. Just planning, even though it's not always fun, it will definitely help you keep sane. And even going as far to schedule in time for fun or relaxing when you get so busy. Like, if you have that time, great. But if you don't have it already blocked off, okay, I'm blocking off this hour and I'm just reading or whatever it may be. You have to take that time for yourself.
100%. And that's a great way for me to start my piece, which is taking time for yourself.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, that's a huge thing for me. I'm notoriously horrible with it. But I have found, even just like with my book goal this year, if you guys have been following along with the podcast, I'll update you on my book goal soon. But taking time to sit for a little bit and read, doing yoga, meditating, even if you do it for just like 2 minutes a day, can be so grounding that it's not even funny. Like, it's wild how helpful that is. And things like, if I feel like dancing, but not for a job, I'm gonna just like dance for fun or sing for fun or do things that have become hobbies that I've turned into jobs, but like do them for myself instead of just focusing on them for the work component so that I don't get too burned out. And then on that, I also will say my support system. Before I talk about all of the wonderful people in my life, I do want to say that my cat is a huge part of my support system. I think she is an unofficial anxiety cat, because anytime I'm having an anxiety attack or I'm literally at my wit's end of the day and I don't know what to do, she will come up to me and she will sit in my lap and she will just start like kneading my chest or my legs or something to try and make me feel better. Like, she's so emotionally intelligent and I love my cat. Shout out Ziggy. She's the cutest.
No, that's fantastic emotional regulation.
It really is. And then when she gets scared, I'm like, okay, we can emotionally regulate together. This is great. But no, I mean, like Livy said, like living with my best friend is really crucial to my sanity, and having somebody that I know is just like no selfish intent there for me is really wonderful. Having both of our sets of parents that we can reach out to, and then just the community that we've built around us in the area, not only our coworkers who we love, our, you know, volunteer buddies that we love, our theater friends, and then just anybody in between. It's been really rewarding for us to be here and build our community in Toledo. And we cannot wait to continue doing it.
Yes.
And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire. So today, Libby, I'm going to kick it off with you. What is your Roman Empire?
My Roman Empire right now, which is very fitting to what we were talking about, it has been helping keep me sane and give me time to process things and have a little brain break throughout the day. It's a puzzle game on my phone. Nonagrams?
Real. The world may never know.
It's like the number chart with the X's and the dots, and you make a little picture, just by like counting and using deductive reasoning to place your little squares. I never got it before. I've tried to play them before and it did not compute.
Real.
But now I'm having so much fun and I finished so many levels, like the whole first world of my game, probably like 50 levels.
The spring world.
Yay. But it's been very fun and relaxing. So sometimes you just need a little puzzle or something.
Yeah, I get that.
It's all I can think about.
Sometimes the rock game is the only thing that gives you sanity. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, hey, better than doom scrolling.
Exactly.
Better than doom
scrolling. I feel productive.
My Roman Empire for this episode is going to be my official update on my book goal. I know I'm the only one who really cares about it, but I want you all to know.
I've been waiting. I've been wondering how you've been doing.
Actually, she did off of the recording ask me how my book goal was going, and I was like, well, I guess you're
fine now. On surprising her on air one day and just putting her on the spot. Like,
well, I am very pleased to say that I have finished 85 out of my 100 books.
Wow.
I'm currently halfway through book 86 and about a quarter of the way through book 87.
Are we finishing that by the end of the year?
Dude, I think I can.
Okay.
I really think I can. I know. Listen, at the time that we're recording, it is November 25th. So I've got a month and change to read I'm going to say, because I'll probably finish both of the books I'm currently reading tomorrow, I'm going to say 13 more books. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think I can do it, especially with the fact that I have a nice week-long break between New Year and Christmas. Mm-hmm. So that'll be really nice for me to just have a week where I can focus on reading.
Yeah.
But I especially...
Well, you're looking at like 3 books a week.
Okay.
I think you can do that because... Yeah. I know you do audiobooks too.
So. Yes, I do audiobooks. I've talked about the rules before. Audiobooks count to me, plays count, and then large issues of specifically Vanity Fair. I don't really count other magazines, but Vanity Fair, those issues are like 200 pages and the text is ridiculously small and covering like every page.
Yeah.
So that to me counts.
There's some meat to it, yeah.
There is meat to it, 100%. So those are kind of where I'm at right now. But I wanted to talk about the most recent book I read, other than the ones I'm reading currently. I just read Bill Nye's book. It's called Everything All at Once. And Bill Nye, obviously everyone knows him as the science guy. I mean, if you grew up around the same time that Libby and I did, you spent most of your science classes watching Bill Nye clips or rolling out the big TV, putting up the episodes on the smart board once we got a little more tech savvy. But Bill Nye obviously has been a household staple for a lot of young people in their education. I really struggled with science. It was my worst subject. And he explained a lot of concepts in a way that were very easy for me to understand. So I appreciate him a lot. I was very interested to read his book. And what's interesting is it's called Everything All at Once. And the thing is, he really talks about everything all at once. Every chapter is a different scientific principle, but he puts it into one, ways that you can understand like he does with his show. Mm-hmm. But then two, he tells anecdotes from his own life that tie into that principle. So it's almost like a memoir in addition to it being scientifically
interesting. And he's such a comforting narrator.
Yes, I was going to say it was an audiobook. He narrated it himself. So it was really awesome to hear his voice and hear him talk about his life. He's a cool guy. It's a high recommended book on my list. But I will say what was most interesting for me about the book was he basically detailed a way that we could fix the climate crisis in our world.
Yeah.
But like no one's listening to him.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, okay. The guy who was literally named the science guy, you're not going to listen to him. Yeah. I'm like, hey, he knows how to save us. Let him save us. But just, you know, his in-depth understanding of so many different elements of the world and how they all contribute to science. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went into everything, religion, politics, family dynamics, and social dynamics. It was fascinating.
Yeah. Someone put it in such a tangible, like...
Yes.
We can just take it all in.
Exactly. It's so easy to digest. And I would say it's one that if you're easily overstimulated by a lot of information... You can definitely take it chapter by chapter and not overwhelm yourself. I was somebody who I finished it in like 3 days because I was so excited. I think it's definitely a great read and has a lot of inspiring messaging for the future of our world, which I appreciate.
Thank you, Bill Nye.
Thank you, Bill Nye. Can we be saved? I need you. Well, we want to thank you for listening to our unique episode today of just the two of us interviewing each other. And we hope you have a wonderful holiday season. We will be back soon with some more amazing young professionals. And we, more than anything, want to give you guys, our listeners, a big thank you for being so supportive and just being on the come up with us all the time.
Yeah, we love you.
We love you. Today we are thanking ourselves, our guests on today's show. We are the hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incomparable Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.